I'm Brian Turner with 88.1 MyFM News. I'm very happy today to be joined by Michelle Foxton, who is the Liberal candidate for the newly redrawn Lanark Frontenac riding for the upcoming federal election.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. We're not going to take up too much of your time because we realize you've got a very busy schedule ahead of you. Election day is fast approaching. So let's just get right into it. What we're interested in knowing, and our listeners are as well, what are the top issues for voters in Lanark Frontenac?
Well, I'm glad you asked because I have been around this riding with a nine-stop solutions tour, and I've hit the doors, and I can tell you that what's going on south of the border with President Trump, the tariffs, and most importantly, affordability are top of mind for people. They are concerned about housing. They're concerned about seniors, and how they're getting by. They're concerned about making sure that we can help people to manage, especially given the fact that prices may go up. And those are big concerns for people. So we're doing, a lot of listening to make sure that we get a handle on what it is that people are concerned about.
So how do the Liberals, and more specifically, how do you think that what plans are in place to address these issues?
Yeah, well, good question. I can say that over the last 10 years that the Liberals have been there, we have put in place a lot of programs that are going to help people. For instance, the dental care program that has just been expanded. Right now, we have over 10,500 of our residents of Lanark Frontenac that are being assisted by that program. That's about 10% of our population. That's very significant. We have families who have benefited from the child benefit, the Canada Child Benefit. Almost 10,000 families for about $61 million. That's helping lift families and children out of poverty. Those are critical things. We have housing programs that we've put in place, the Housing Accelerator Fund, the Cooperative Housing Fund that was just announced. We've got money that's gone into Almont, Mississippi Mills. I believe it's 4 million and Smith Falls 3.3 million or vice versa. Plus, there was just an announcement today regarding Perth and the Cooperative Housing Fund and the money that they're going to put into that. The key is we have to get people that we have to get affordable housing to them. It's not just about creating housing. There is other incentives like the tax break that they're giving for first-time home buyers, but there's also things that we're doing like a reduction of the income tax. So, the lowest bracket taking a percent off. We've taken away the capital gains increase. We've expanded in the past the lifetime capital gains exemption amount from 1 million to 1 million 250,000. That was an idea that we took to Chrystia Freeland when she came to Kingston one day after I had been around this riding. Those are important. It's not just that we come up with the ideas, but we've got to communicate them. We have to have effective representation to get these ideas up to Ottawa. So those are just a few of the things that's really moving the needle, I think, in our various communities. The last thing I think I would add is, municipalities are struggling as well, and we have an infrastructure fund that we have put since 2015 over $22 million into this riding. People don't realize, but there's bridges, the Carleton Place bridge replacement, water services over in Smith Falls, one of the streets down in Charbert Lake, the Piccadilly Ice Arena down here in South Frontenac. Those all had federal funding investments to help our residents. And those are the things that have to continue. As Prime Minister Carney has said, this is about reducing inefficiencies, making sure that the system works and that we have an operating budget that we are able to manage, but then taking funds and investing it in our future. We need investments in jobs, innovation, technology, things that will help the next generation. Our kids have to have hope, and I want to see that on their faces. I don't want to see the despair, and I think if we come together and unite, we can do this 100%.
What do you bring to the table for the residents of Lanark Frontenac?
I bring somebody who wants to be here. I am committed to making things better for our families, for our children, for the next generation. I have a passion with respect to the climate and making sure that we get that under control. But yet, I grew up in a family where my husband's family has farmed for generations. So I've got connections in the agricultural community. I don't want to see the supply chain management lost. And that's what's at stake in this next election. If we don't put somebody in that's going to fight for the rural side of this country, then we're going to have some problems. So I bring enthusiasm. I bring ideas to the table. I know in this riding, we haven't had representation down in the South, like a constituency office. I've been talking to people at the doors. My campaign office, which is over on the main street of Sydenham right now, will be your constituency office. You will have a place to go get passports. You won't have to beg the MP in the next riding to do that or drive all the way up to Carleton Place. Time. I've got the time and I've got no conflicts of interest. We have to be realistic here. And you know, I'll never go after another politician personally, but I will say that you have to look at their records. Right now, Scott Reed has issues with affordability. There's two bills that came into the House in 2023. The conflict of interest commissioner said that that's a conflict. He couldn't comment on that. On his own website, he has posted the fact that he's recused himself over a dozen times since then. Those are important issues that our people need representatives. I can be there. I don't have those conflicts. I can represent this riding and I can make sure that I'm doing more than just warming a bench. You know, you have to have someone who's interested and willing to go out into the public, I think, and let them know that they've got somebody to talk to, not just wait for them to come to your office. I've gone through the riding, I don't know how many times. We've had stops all over. We will do, if I am elected, we will do two town halls every year in the north, one in the north, one in the south, so we can hear from people. Not what we want to hear from you, but what you want to tell us. That's critical.
And after a quarter of a century of conservative representation in this riding, how do you see yourself breaking that traditional support and getting the swing?
That's an excellent question. And I'll tell you, it's because I am a collaborative politician. I have already started reaching out to the NDP Green supporters as well as progressive conservatives. I grew up in a progressive conservative household, and I understand that there is a middle ground here where there are people who want fiscal responsibility, but they still want to see some safety nets out there. They want to make sure that our money is being used and spent wisely, that there's accountability, but they also want to know that they can look after their neighbor, that they can give people a helping hand. That draws from a lot of different areas, and this election. What I am seeing is that those people are coming over and endorsing me. Marlene Spruett, who is the provincial Green candidate, has endorsed me. Stephen Kotza, I just spoke with him. He's going to endorse me. We have a launch of our campaign on Saturday, this Saturday at 9 a.m. down at the Lions Hall in Perth. These people are coming out to help me. Sue Brandom, you know, these are important people in those different communities that we're saying this time around, we can unite to make a change in this riding. That's how we're going to do this. It's not just me, it's everybody out there that's going to put their support behind me. And I will remember it. I will hold those votes with the deepest of respect. I know they're borrowed votes, but we can unite to make some really big changes down here and make sure that we have effective representation. Rob Rayner, another great supporter. These are people who I'm so proud to know and work together. I've already started reaching out and saying, okay, what private members' bills can we put in place? We know we've got concerns with the environment. Okay, give me a private members' bill. Intimate partner violence. I've already reached out to individuals over at the Lanark County Interval House. Help me put together a private members' bill so we can declare intimate partner violence an epidemic. These are the critical issues. In 25 years, our current representative has only put forward three private members' bills, none of which have made it past first reading. Two were on appointing and removing the Governor General, and one was on property rights. We can do so much better. You know, we've got a lot of important issues down here, but you want someone with the energy and enthusiasm. After 25 years, I respect Mr. Reed's service 100%, but it is time to open that door and allow somebody else to take a really good go at doing this job and doing it well.
And finally, what do you think of your leader? What do you think your leader has going for him to deal with President Trump?
Well, I think he has everything going for him in that regard. You know, he is a smart fellow. He has run the Bank of Canada and took us through a financial crisis in 2008. He has gone over to England and been the governor of the Bank of England and took them through Brexit. He has reached out across the world and been involved and built relationships. You know, 99% of politics is about building relationships with each other, with other countries. Internationally, we have a lot of influence that we can have when we enter into those types of relationships. And he's done that. You know, Prime Minister Carney has reached out and made sure that he's set the stage so that we've got partnerships, right? We need to be independent. If anything, what we have learned is that we Trust is a huge thing, and the trust with those south of the border. And I want to point out, it's the administration and the current president, not the people. We have good friends and neighbors down there, and we get along. And it's more of a fact that we have to have somebody who's going to stand up to the antics that they're doing. We do that by becoming self-sufficient. When you look at what Prime Minister Carney's already done by putting in, cooperative agreements across the country so that we can get rid of trade barriers, focusing on those programs that are going to put jobs, to our own people using our own steel and aluminum, like the shipbuilding that was just announced. We've got 8 control vessels that are being done. We've got 15 icebreakers. There's submarines. There's a drone program that's being put in place. This is a guy who can get stuff done, and that's the advantage that he has. We have nothing coming out of the other side. And when I say that, I mean whether it's Pierre Poilievre, whether it is Jagmeet Singh, there are no ideas coming to the table about how we're going to move forward. This is a clear choice for voters. We've got the ability to do it, and now we've got somebody at the helm who also has the confidence, the calm, the demeanor that is needed to deal with President Trump. And that's important. You want to have a surgeon with a scalpel, not an axeman with a, sledgehammer that's trying to take stuff down. And that's the difference here. So I have every confidence. I'm really proud to run in this government, and I hope voters will consider me for the election this time around.
Thank you very much for your time today, Michelle. We really appreciate it, and we wish you all the best on April 28th.
Thank you, and it has been a pleasure. I really enjoy this immensely.